Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. I'm Austin Verhill, along with Tim LaDuca, Nick Giovanelli, and Tyler Boyce. If you remember, we've had Tyler Boyce on before. It was a while ago. We were both still a part of NYC Sports Nation. And for the longest time, up until the Astros scandal, it was our highest played episode.
Oh, man. Yeah. This guy's going to have me on more.
Welcome back, Tyler. Now, we brought in Tyler. He is, I guess you could call him our residential Mets fan.
Well, one of
two. Yeah, there's you.
Okay, so, Tyler, here's the thing. They consistently gang up on me because I don't want the rivers running red with the blood of Mets fans.
I think it's
because he's a Mets fan.
I think you just see the great talent on in Queens, and you're kind of jealous of what we got going on.
I mean, I'm in Queens. I don't see that much talent.
So, because I don't consistently rag on the Mets, I get bombarded with them calling me a Mets fan. I think what it is I'm such a fan of the old black Mets uniforms, and I expressed that once, and now they call me a Mets fan, and I'm not cool with it. And I just want – you're a bigger Mets fan than me, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I would probably say so on that. The black uniforms may be coming back, though, so we might get you to be a full Mets fan.
Well, that won't happen.
See, Austin, are you going to get a jersey?
Did you see Steve Cohen on Twitter answering fans' requests?
I did see that he was answering fans' requests. That's the reason we have Tyler on, besides the fact that he's our friend, is Steve Cohen, after what seems almost a year of trying to buy the Mets, it happened.
Yeah, the Wilpons almost messed that up, too, so...
And here they did, by the way. They even fumbled on their way out.
100%. They're lucky Cohen even came back.
So they sold it to him. Like, what was it? It was before March. It was like what, January, February? The original deal happened.
Yeah. Well, our prayers were answered. It was under this weird contract that they were like, the Wilpons were saying, we're gonna maintain ownership for 5 years, but you can pay us now. And then in the 5 years, you can take over fully.
That was a joke.
Which was the most ridiculous deal I've ever heard in my entire life.
And here's the craziest part. He signed it at first.
He signed it, and I think I got closer, and then he wanted SNY, and he wanted more. Like, I think his understanding was, you can have the label as owner, but I'm going to be running everything. And I think Jeff Wilpon kind of, like, nicked the deal right at the end.
And the thing that was so weird about it is they screwed that up, and then they ended up selling it to him after negotiations with A-Rod as well. They sold it to Cohen for less money than originally got for it.
That's the Wilpons, baby.
You gotta love it. They mess up in everything. They're not trying to be bad. I think they just suck at everything they do.
Yeah, they were involved in the Madoff scandal. Bad decisions. They're just like the bad decision people. So now, they're not in charge. Hopefully, we're not the laughing stock that we've been.
Now, here's the thing. Were you, and I wanted this for a lot of Mets fans, but you're going to be the one speaking on behalf of them. Did you have a guy, when it was between A-Rod and Cohen, did you have one that you wanted it to go to?
Oh, Cohen 100%. Don't even have to think about it.
Why is that? Like, why so easily above A-Rod?
Well, let's look at their net worths. Steve Cohen's net worth is $14 billion, $10 billion more than the next richest owner in baseball. If you look at Alex Rodriguez, he needs investors to even buy the team. So once he buys the team, how is he really going to reinvest in the team? He can say it all he wants, that he was going to invest, you know, raise payroll to be close to the luxury tax, but like, how is he really going to do that? The Mets are already in serious debt. So not only is Cohen buying the team, he has to buy up the debt that the team was already under, but it doesn't really matter because he's so rich that, you know, and it's not even just he's going to invest in the players. He's going to invest in the analytical department. He's going to invest in the areas around City Field, the strength and conditioning. Like, he's the whole, and he's a Mets fan. He grew up a Mets fan. I mean, I know A-Rod says he's a Mets fan too.
A-Rod did. But like, and so did J-Lo.
Yeah, okay. And J-Lo's like, I'm going to be the first Latina owner too. But like, Steve Cohen's wife is also Latin descent. So he's just the whole total package, man. Uncle Stevie. Now,
here's my thing. I don't want to raise an alarm or anything. I don't want to just sound like I'm shitting on the Mets, although the other guys would tend to disagree that I would do that. Just because.
Yeah, you're just pandering.
Just because he has a lot of money. That is it. I'll give you an example. My favorite football team, the Washington football team, has a very rich owner who grew up a Washington fan. And we have been I've seen one playoff game my entire life, and we got destroyed. So the thing I'm trying to say is, just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you can use it correctly. So what makes you think Cohen will?
All right, well, there's two things. Having the money to actually be in the conversations with Springer or Bauer, you're seeing all these articles coming out. You're seeing the Mets in the mix for every like kind of big name out there. I remember in like 2014, 2013, during our off seasons, our whole fan base was clamoring to get Steven Drew, a utility player, and we couldn't even afford him. So just to be in these conversations is nice. Secondly, I think he knows that he's going to need to hire some people that know baseball. That's why he's already hired Sandy Alderson as the, you know, president of baseball operations. He's going to hire, you know, at least two GMs to be under him. So I think he's going to hire the right people that are going to, you know,
Brody Van beef up the analytical there, right?
I think he has to be. I mean, I know horrendous.
He's absolutely horrendous.
And player moves standpoint, I didn't think he did great. But as a PR head of the team standpoint, I thought he was okay. He was a good PR kind of guy. But, you know, he missed a lot in free agency. Jed Lowry, 3 bats for the Mets.
Edwin Diaz deal.
Presumed dead. Edwin Diaz, the deal, he was good this year, but obviously we gave up way too much to get a relief pitcher.
Yeah, but you also got an agent
superstar. Baby.
Yeah, I mean, they both had statistically really good years this year. But again, I'd rather have Kelnick in the long run. And So I'm definitely looking forward to have like baseball minded people and not an agent as our GM and doing that part. But I don't think he's going to be meddling. Like Jeff Wilpon, you hear the stories about him, you know, overreaching his power in the office. Like, he hires his people, but he meddles so much that they can't even do their jobs. So I think Sandy Alderson, knowing that he doesn't have to be worried about going to his boss about the resources they have, I think they're going to be good. And Sandy Alderson, I don't think, is the guy who's going to be overspending. I know Mets fans are going to be like, oh, we're going to get Bauer, we're going to get Springer. I think we might get one of them. I think we might get one big ticket item, but I don't think we're going to be going out there overspending. You know, for a perfect example, I think if the Mets ownership was sold, and I think if the new front office was in place, a guy like Brad Hand, who was non-tendered by the Indians, 1 year, $10 million, I think that's the kind of player that we can just pick up now and not have to worry about it.
That's a guy I want the Yankees to get.
How no one's been on him is very surprising.
Well, I think if you look at the market, the pandemic, I think everyone is really not looking to spend that kind of money. Now, I think you're going to be able to get a lot of good relief pitchers this year on very club-friendly deals.
I know you said you don't want the Mets overspending, but I think this is the year where they should go absolutely bananas.
Oh, I'm not saying don't overspend. I'm saying don't. The expectation to get every big free agent, I think, is still not realistic. But I think guys like, you know, Charlie Morton, you can get him for 1 year, reasonable price. I think if you spend in the right areas.
But here's the thing. All these owners and GMs, they were hit hard with the pandemic, with these tremendous losses. But Cohen didn't go through any of that.
Yeah, he didn't own a team. He's not coming in with any of that really.
I mean, granted, he just had to buy a team. But
he had to buy a team, but in
that would have happened
billion.
Anyway. That would have happened anyway. So
exactly.
I think if I'm a Mets fan, I think, or if I'm Steve Cohen or the general manager, or if I'm Sandy Alderson, go ham this offseason. Because
you're going to
get – you're going to get value. First, you want to show your fans you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get valuable players this year. I mean, Colton Wong, I think, would be a tremendous addition to almost any team.
I think
all the non-tenders, it's been ridiculous.
I think there's going to be even more quality players being non-tendered that you wouldn't expect this year.
I have a good one that the Mets should pick up.
Who's
you
that?
Guys interested to hear who it is?
I'm ready to hear your joke.
I would love to hear anyone who wants to come to the Mets.
J.A. Happ.
I knew it.
Honestly, minor league deal, I would do it.
Oof. Wow.
Would he? I don't know if he'd take a minor league deal.
No, he wouldn't take a minor league deal.
He talked crap about the
he wouldn't even come out of the
not
bullpen.
Starting him. Yeah.
But yeah, no, the Mets need pitching for sure. But so even I think even trades, like the Indians getting rid of Ham, they can't afford anyone. So Lindor, if we could, kind of do what the Red Sox did with Mookie Betts, get a trade and then extend him just with ridiculous contract. He's only 26 years old still.
So what the Dodgers did. You want more of the good part of that deal than the Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the Indians
trade away your best player.
No. And also, that's the one thing that, the Dodgers got that deal relatively easy because they took on David Price's contract. The Indians really don't have.
You opted out.
Yeah. But the Indians really don't have a player with that financial commitment that the Mets can really take on. So they would have to be giving up talent, which I don't know if they have the talent to really dispose of with their farm system.
Now, that's another thing. They got to start drafting well because this team is, its farm system is not good. And for a team that hasn't been.
If you look at the last two drafts, I think the Mets, that is one thing that I think Brody did well, was drafting. If you really look at the past two drafts, they went with really high-end talent in the first couple of rounds, and then they went really lower-cost additions at the end, more like seniors in college. So the Mets really got Matthew Allen in the 2018 draft, who was going to be a commit, so a lot of people passed on him. And he's a first-round talent. They got him in the third round, and they were able to give him that bonus money because they didn't really reach in the bottom rounds. And they did the same thing this year. So the drafts have been pretty good recently, but those guys are pretty far ways away still. So that's where it kind of hurts us. We don't really have any immediate impact players coming up.
Alonso's an Alderson guy, though, right?
Yes. Yep.
So, and Conforto, I believe. So, those are... we could see he can draft.
Mm-hmm.
At least somewhat.
Yep. Conforto, Nimmo, all Alderson. Smith.
What's the deal with Nimmo? Where does he fit on that team?
He gets on base a lot.
Yeah, that's really his prerogative. He is a crazy high on base percentage, and then everything else is kind of mediocre.
He's a money ball guy.
He's more fit for a corner outfield. He can't play center field, so he's not a true center fielder. He's, at best, your third best outfielder on the team. On a really good team, he's a fourth outfielder.
So, what are the, I'm talking future wants that you think are realistic for the Mets? Whether it be a Lindor or whatnot, who's the guy you think the Mets fans are gonna go around?
Well, Lindor would be the best overall talent we could probably receive, but he's not our biggest need. I think our biggest need is pitching. If you look this year, our pitching was awful. Stroman opted out. Syndergaard wasn't there. Really killed our season. And we need to build behind DeGrom. So I think, you have to add pitching if it's Bauer or if it's a Charlie Morton type or if you re-sign Stroman. I think that's the biggest need. And then it has to be either catcher or center field, which, yeah, Realmuto and Springer. But you can even look at a guy like James McCann or Jackie Bradley Jr.
You are looking, well, you can't see me, you are hearing a tremendously big James McCann guy.
Yeah.
He's
so underrated. So underrated.
He has been ever since he was with the Tigers, and that's why it's because he was with the Tigers
and the White Sox, two smaller. Well, the White Sox has some notoriety this year, but
yeah, and we got to talk about Lasorda later. But one more thing about the Mets before we move on. Is Cespedes done with the Mets?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like, there's no way he's on that team next year, right?
No. I mean, if you look at the history of Cespedes, Alderson didn't want him at the trade deadline. He looked to make Jay Bruce Gomez happen. That fell apart. Carlos Gomez, that fell apart. I think
that was Wilmer Flores crying.
I think Justin Upton was even looked at that deadline, and then like Cespedes was the last call, and they finished it right before the deadline. And then he had that crazy, you know,
run to the World Series.
And then they re-signed him, and I think they didn't really want to re-sign him the first time. Then they re-signed him the second time, and that kind of just blew up in their face. So I think with Alderson coming back and how it played out and how like he was just like a PR nightmare at the end of that contract with the,
do you think
the
that
Boer
was a Wilpon
incident.
Thing? Do you think it was a Wilpon thing that he re-signed? Because the second deal was even more shocking than the first.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know, because the Wilpons usually don't give out those big kind of contracts. And I don't think Alderson likes really giving an aging superstar like the commitment he did. So it might have been a Wilpon pressure from the fans to really like want him back. I mean, I wanted him back, obviously. Like you saw his resume. Even 2016 was a good year. So it might have been a Wilpon thing, but I really can't. That's more speculation than fact.
All right, and by the way, they let what's his face go for that too. Oh my goodness, why am I forgetting his name? He's so good. Daniel Murphy. They let him go.
Oh yeah. Yep. Then he destroyed us on the Nationals.
He obviously he doesn't play against you guys nearly as much with the Rockies.
Still a productive hitter though.
He's still with the Rockies?
Yeah.
Yep.
I like him, and he made sure to let the Mets know they made the wrong decision when they played him.
Yeah. I mean defensively he was a headache, but
he definitely
had the hit tool.
Didn't the Rockies move him over to first?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, the Rockies have had a black hole at first base, though, since Matt Holliday.
They had Ian Desmond there.
Ugh.
That was one of the... Ian Desmond, who did he have that great year with? Was it the Rangers,
Nationals?
Right?
No, he did have a good year with the...
Let's see here.
I think it was the Rangers.
He was like a lower guy, went to the Rangers, had a great year, then signed the deal with the Rockies.
And he was a quality player with the Nationals.
He was.
Like not a superstar, but definitely serviceable.
But then towards the end, I think he got injured or whatnot, and it was he kind of left there on a low note, goes to the Rangers, plays great and plays center field. Then he goes to the Rockies, and he forgets how to hit at first base.
And
it's one of the weirdest timelines I've ever seen.
It is weird because, like, you think in Coors, he would just be like a monster.
Yeah, he was hitting bombs for a while, but it did not work out with the Rockies. I mean, it seems like most things with the Rockies don't work out. But let's move on now.
Oh wait, I have one question.
Go ahead,
Nick. You first.
Does Luis Rojas stay?
I hope so.
At least for the next year.
I hope so. I think, you know, I think he handled this year. I mean, this year was crazy, and I think he handled it pretty well. And I think you just look at his history, you know, being his father was Felipe Alou, like just a great manager himself. And I think he handled himself like every... So if you look at Mickey Callaway's press conferences, he would be like pressed on... He was awful. He'd be pressed on like certain scenarios, and he would just give you like these like, you know, blanket statements that didn't really have any detail behind it. If you listen to the press conferences with Luis Rojas, he can back up any decision that he makes with like some evidence, and it just sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And he's not scared to like go to players and like explain why he's making these moves, and he does it. The opening day this year, he took out Robinson Cano in the seventh inning for defense. Like Robinson Cano is the same age as him and like is this huge superstar. So like he's not scared to make those like, you know, moves for the team. So I think, you know, the pitching just was not going to let the Mets be successful this year. And I think he did the best of what he could do. So I hope, you know, Alderson knows him. He was in the organization when Alderson was a GM. He's been in the Mets organization for like 14 years, Rojas, just in the minor league level. So, I mean, I hope he stays. I think he kind of earned his way up.
Now, Tim, before you say something, I have one little thing to add. My favorite Mickey Callaway moment ever was there was – remember, I can't remember what year it was. It might have been 2017 – I think it was 2018 where you guys started off the year unbelievably hot, like you normally do.
Yep. Let me fall apart.
And you guys – I think you lost two games in a row. And then Mickey Callaway just goes, I just hope this doesn't turn into a tailspin. And then it turned into a tailspin. It's I've never heard a manager just say, I just hope we're not just bad now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a downward spiral. It wasn't even a tailspin. Oh, my God. I just can't even. I was excited for that hire, too. Like, just, you know, we're
everyone pitching, was. I thought it was
pitching
a great
dominant
hire.
Team. Coming from the Indians, which is another, like, you know, great pitching team. And then he was just so incompetent at the job.
He didn't even manage
fighting with reporters, you know, filling out the wrong lineup card. Like, just, like, stupid things.
Oh, that was so funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so much stuff. I'm surprised it lasted 2 years.
All right, Tim, you go ahead now.
All right, Austin and Nick, have you ever had a team change ownership? In your mature sport life?
My mature sport life?
No.
Yes. The Nets just recently changed owners.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling because you're like, I'm excited about this rich old white man on my team. Like, when the Bills changed, it seemed – when the Bills switched – well, I guess Ralph Wilson Jr. passed away. I was so excited for Terry Pegula to come onto the scene. But they were bad, and it took 2 years for them to even sneak into the playoffs. And I'm just wondering, like, Tyler, what's the thing that is exciting to you about having a new ownership? Like, what's the reason why it's exciting to have new ownership?
I think
for me, it's that it was like this might be the chance for the Bills to finally make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a culmination of things. I think if we had competent owners that were like passionate about the team, I'd be like, all right, I'm sad to see them go. Nice to see some like new ideas come in. But with the Wilpons, which like I don't know the Wilpons, I don't want to like talk badly about them, but just from like an outsider looking into their organization and how they run things and hearing stories from like players and employees under them, it just seems like it wasn't the best like place to be, and like it wasn't attractive to free agents, and you know they weren't really investing into the team. So like it just seems like to the fans' perspective that they didn't really care. I mean, I'm sure they did care, but they didn't have the financial backings to really show that they would put all of it into it.
I want to say something. Michael Kay brought this up on his radio show. Mm-hmm. And he obviously has inside information about baseball. And he says, around baseball, it is well known that Fred absolutely loves the Mets. He has the problem with the Wilpons. Seems to be Jeff.
It's definitely Jeff. I mean, I've never heard a player complain about Fred Wilpon. I think he is fine. I think Jeff really took more precedent and taking like ownership of things with the Mets, and I think he just overstepped what an owner should do with a baseball team. Like he was overbearing, especially to the players. Even like sources coming out, articles I read, employees are like, you know, they feel rejuvenated that they're leaving. Which is like pretty crazy. And the other thing, I mean, if A-Rod bought the team, I would be skeptical. I would be like, I'm happy the Wilpons are out, but like, what really could A-Rod do? I feel like he just has so many ideas, and I feel like he doesn't really know what exactly that he's doing. Like, I feel like he's an idea guy, and then like, there's a reality, and I feel like those don't match together. And I think Cohen, like, he even like said it. He's like, you know, I hire people smarter than me. It works better that I do that in the hedge fund business. So, like, I think he's a business guy, but he's also, like, a big fan. So, I think he knows when he's going to have to push to, like, you know, make the Mets better. And again, I think he's not going to just invest in the players. I think he's going to invest. I think Andy Martino of SNY said that he wants to make the Mets the East Coast Dodgers, which, obviously, there already is an East Coast Dodgers. It's the Yankees. But
there's a West Coast Yankees.
Yeah, they're the West Coast. That's a fair statement. But that's pretty much what he wants to do. Like, the Yankees have a big analytical department. That's what Steve Cohen's going to want to do. He's going to want to build up the strength and conditioning programs and make the facilities better. So I think it's going to be, you know, a desirable place. I even hear from sources, not my sources, but sources in the game that are saying that free agents are going to wait out until this ownership is decided to see, like, what kind of investments that they're going to want to make this year. It's already becoming, like, a more desirable area for free agents. So I think that's what I'm so excited about.
Now, we have to move on because there's a big thing that has happened since our last episode. Our last episode was we went through games 3, 4, and 5 of the World Series. So the World Series is over, and boy, did it end in a fashion that I think... I don't want to say surprising, but
it was kind of surprising.
I don't think it was surprising at all.
No, just the way that the team everyone knew was going to win won.
Here's the thing. I knew. I literally said it to my brother. I was like, Snell is not reaching the sixth. I mean, he did, but he didn't pitch full six.
He should have kept going, but, you know.
No.
The Rays do not let pitchers go through three times through the order.
Well, it's like the Dodgers, too. That whole series was just like bullpen games every game. No one really went deep besides, like, the occasional, like, Kershaw game, which is weird.
Which, by the way, I am so happy Kershaw has a ring.
That's the best part about it.
I mean, he finally performed in the playoffs.
He performed and they got a ring. I don't know if that's a coincidence. I think it is the exact opposite of a coincidence. Now, there's one other part. Now, I'm going to stay with this for a little bit because we've talked about analytics in the past few episodes with the Yankees exiting and whatnot. And here's the thing. Analytics have absolutely a part of this game. There is any person who says analytics should not be a part of the game are losing touch completely. However, the whole don't go through the lineup three times thing is one of the dumbest things to me. Blake Snell was on absolute fire. So you don't want him to go through against you don't want him to see the top of the lineup again. When the last times through the lineup, they were 0-for-6 with 6 strikeouts. Mookie Betts against Blake Snell this season, or this postseason, was 0-for-5, I believe, with 3 or so strikeouts. Blake Snell was in an absolute position to go 7 innings in that game.
Mm-hmm. At least.
And it would have been, we got robbed legitimately of maybe a performance of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. We got robbed of the 7th game, man. Baseball ended too early. Yeah.
I mean, there's analytics and then there's following a script. And Kevin Cash was following a script that whole game.
Thank you.
You're right. Yes.
You said
it beautifully.
And it's also like you have to use the eye test. Like Nick Anderson in that series.
He was so bad.
Atrocious, like, the whole season. He was great during the regular season.
He was gassed.
Probably was burnt
he was
out.
Absolute gassed.
So you got to use the eye test.
Like, taking out Blake Snell wasn't even the biggest problem of that whole thing. It's that they put in Nick Anderson right after. Like, what are you doing, man?
And here's when you know you messed up. They pan over to the Dodgers dugout, and Mookie Betts is laughing. That's a problem. When you make a move and the other team is laughing and celebrating, you made a poor decision.
Yeah, Snell was on it. His fastball looked unreal in that game. But then, again, it's like the opposite of the 2015 Mets. Harvey looked that good, too. And then
but
kept him in for too long.
They were taking him out, though, and then Harvey had the whole...
Yeah, the whole meltdown in the dugout.
And then he hasn't been the same ever since.
Nope.
So
it's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Where is he now? Like the Royals or something?
Yeah, he was on the Royals. I think he got taken out of the rotation to be a reliever.
That's got to be one of the biggest what ifs in recent memory. Is what if Matt Harvey never argued his way back in the game? Like, where would he be?
I think it's the outlet syndrome surgery, too, that followed. I think they really just... No pitcher really showed that they can come back from that surgery. Yep.
Okay. I just read something that, Tim, you are absolutely going to love.
Okay.
So, Lester was let go from the Cubs.
Yeah.
Do you know how he thanked Cubs fans?
A flyover.
He opened up a bar tab. And $5,000 worth of beer.
That's dope. Not COVID safe, though.
Was put on that bar tab. So, I mean, he opened up a bar tab in a few different bars.
And just said, go crazy? I can't believe it was only $5,000.
True. And I think because of COVID, that's the reason.
Man, I'm worried, though. Social media was all, 4 years ago today, the Cubs won the World Series. And I'm like,
that's a
good thing. But I mean, like how long are we going to be doing this? Let's just win another one instead of just talking about the one 4 years ago.
I told you at Cooperstown. Remember, we were looking at one of the Cubs' lockers, and it said something about the 2016 World Series. And I was like, that's going to be they're never letting go of that because they're never going to have anything to replace it with.
It is kind of worrisome.
They're good for another 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 4 years, right? So they got another 104 to go.
Ugh.
Stanton is staying with the Yankees, by the way.
No surprise.
Yeah, I don't think that was a question. He's keeping the remaining $218 million over 7 years.
Smart.
There are so many. I can't even go through the amount of players that have been non-tendered and let go. Like, I'm trying to find, a list. I can't find. Oh, here, I actually have a list. The Mets exercised Dylan Betances' contract. So he's staying with the Mets with $6.8 million.
Not opposed to that at all. I don't think he was healthy this year.
He hasn't been healthy almost any year. The Cubs exercised Rizzo, 16.5.
All right, good.
Their
core had such a bad year last year.
Decline, Chris Archer.
No surprise. Hey, who do you think won the Chris Archer trade?
He didn't give up a run this postseason, unlike some pitchers.
True.
I'm trying to see. Dodgers declined Jimmy Nelson. Indians declined Domingo Santana's, which is surprising to me. I don't know how much he was making. I didn't think he was making that much, so that's why that surprises me.
Well, no, you gotta.
As I almost choke.
That's the problem. He was making money. They were paying him, so they had to get out of that as fast as they could.
Yep.
They're trying to run on a $0 salary here.
Yeah. Wait, shit. We were paying you? Get the hell
out of here. He doesn't make the league minimum? Oh, we can't.
Brad Hand and Carlos Santana. That's so fucking disrespectful.
That is awful, man. I
do not care that they are low on money and there's a pandemic. That guy has been your franchise for so... And then he had that hiccup in Philly. But that guy has been your franchise for how long?
I can't imagine being an Indians fan, man. Wow. That would just be a slap in the face.
Rebrand, for Christ's sake. Keep on going.
Wait, was that a... Was that a sound?
No.
That was Austin.
That was me.
Like, you went from free brand, for Christ's sake. Okay. Now, I sounded like you pressed a button.
I'm just good like that.
We haven't talked about Zach Britton.
We're getting to it.
I mean, you brought up Stanton. Thought you would get to Zach Britton earlier.
I was just reading the news and it popped up. You want to hear about a Yankee? David Robertson is a free agent.
Bring him back.
Yankee for the third time. The Phillies have declined David Robertson, Hector Neris, and David Phelps, all their contracts. So the
David
Phillies
Phelps
went
was
from,
on the Phillies?
Yeah,
David Phelps will be the Yankee for like the 800th time.
He was only a Yankee once.
I feel like whenever I hear David Phelps, he's like, oh, re-sign with the Yankees.
No, that's David Robertson. So the
can you name
Phillies
players who played for a team more than twice separately?
Well, Carlos Santana's one. Cliff Lee's another.
Has Carlos Gomez done it?
Yep.
Cliff Lee's done it.
Juan Lagares.
Three separate times.
Oh, three separate times.
Yeah.
I thought you said two.
Yeah, you said two.
Oh, I meant more. I said more than two.
Oh, more than two? Okay. Let's think about this.
I have no idea.
Malik Smith has had to be on the Mariners at least seven times. I mean, what's his deal? was Roger Clemens or David Wells one of them? I don't know. I'm just trying to think. The Rays declined Morton and Zunino, and the Rangers declined Kluber. So the
I feel like Kluber's going to be a sneaky ad.
Yankees should go for Morton if we're being 100% honest here. First of all, we're losing Tanaka, assuming no one resigns. But I think Tanaka's going to resign.
Yeah.
But assuming we lose Tanaka, Paxton seems to be gone, which hurts my heart upon no end.
I think he's going back to Toronto.
And he's never been there. And Hap...
back to
needs
Canada,
to be shot
dude.
Into,
jeez.
Hap needs to be shot into the moon. So...
or the sun.
The sun's too... I mean, this... I don't... Anyway, outer space. Send him to orbit. I don't care. Live on Mars. Hap was awful, so we need pitchers. Because we can't have the year we had with our pitchers this year and then lose some. It can't happen.
But, like...
We can't get worse from last
dead
year.
Dead weight, kind of.
And who are we going to put... in? So, Davey is going to be a part of the rotation now. That's done.
And
so you
Montgomery.
Got Davey, Montgomery.
Maybe Herman, even though we don't really forgive him.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really wants that. But it's that's going to happen.
Severino.
Severino, if he's back. And Cole, the legend.
Schmidt.
That's a big thing. This is going to be a big spring training for Schmidt. Michael King is an opener. True. I love
Michael King. Big Michael King guy.
I think we should do the opener more often.
I miss it. It worked.
Granted, we couldn't really do it this year.
At the beginning of the year. I want that to be a...
We couldn't really do it
happens.
This year. Because, I mean, we had no off days.
We had no Nestor Cortez Jr.
Tyler, what's your opinion on the opener?
I still, because the Mets haven't really used an opener, I really just don't understand the logic behind using an opener.
It's just...
It makes sense.
And it works. It does. It's historically for basically
like,
everyone who uses it.
What makes sense? Like, just, you get off to a good start.
The problem with starters is facing a lineup for a third time. So if you run out a reliever, go through the beginning of the order, then your starter begins with the fourth or fifth hitter. So he can go deeper in the ball game and then face the heart of the order later in the game for a second time. Instead of facing the heart of the lineup in the fourth inning for a second time, he's facing it in the fifth. So
all
you
right,
get a
right.
deeper in ball games with a starter.
See that logic.
Yeah, so our case, Chad Green was always our opener. And then...
And sometimes he could go almost
three.
nine at bats.
Sometimes he'd go almost three innings. So you go for your opener there. Then you have your chunk guy, which used to be Nestor Cortez, or it could be Davey. But I don't really want it to be Davey. I want him to get a full
Davey
rotation
spot.
Davey
needs regular starts.
Yeah, he needs a full rotation spot. The Nationals declined Adam Eaton, Howie Kendrick, Eric Thames, and Anibal Sanchez.
Wow. They gave up a lot for Adam Eaton, too.
Lucas Giolito, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We saw his hat in the Hall of Fame. We did. I mean, I don't know how they got it there so fast. Okay, by the way, the weirdest thing we saw at the Hall of Fame was the first entrance we went in. The biggest picture in that room was of Tim Lincecum.
Just a good picture.
It was a great picture. But Tim Lincecum? I love Lincecum, but this is the Hall of Fame.
I mean, he's a double Cy Young award winner.
Yeah, but
that
he's
was
not
an obscure
all
room. They were just throwing up random news articles, and then the picture that went along with it.
It was a weird room.
Consecutive Cy Young awards, 2008, 2009.
Coolest thing I saw there was the. It was an opening day 2020 minor league baseball, which
that
made me
dope.
Sad, but I thought it was very cool.
Okay, we were just talking about Daniel Murphy. The Rockies declined his option. The Twins declined Sergio Romo's. He's probably going to be a Philly again.
Hey, what do you think Tim Lincecum's career ERA is?
It went up at the end.
3.5.
I think it's... I'm going 4.2.
3.74.
Ahaha, let's go.
What was his peak?
2008, 2009. Two Cy Youngs.
And it was
and
unreal.
What was his ERA?
That's a baseball reference question. You gotta check that. I'm on Wikipedia.
Mets declined Wilson Ramos, Robinson Chirinos, and Todd Frazier's option.
The four years he got Cy Young votes, his ERA was 2.81 over those four seasons.
Yeah, he was nuts.
Marlins exercised Starling Marte's option. Obviously.
I would hope.
They would have won the World Series if
the playoff bound Marlins, you mean?
You watched more Marlins than we did. Well, actually, no.
Yep.
We played them the same amount this year. But what's different with them? Or was it a fluke?
No, I mean, they're getting more pitching. They have Sandy Alcantara. What was the other? Sixto Sanchez came up. He was a beast.
You think they're just flourishing now?
I think they have a lot of young talent that would do well in a short season. So I think they're come way back to earth in a longer stretch. But
so
they had a lot of young guys that played hard.
Do you think they're going to fight for a wild card next year?
Depends. I mean, the Nationals have regressed completely. They're an older team. I think the Braves are consistently going to be good.
They signed the wrong
guy. We'll see what the Mets do. I think the Phillies are average. They're a team that throws money at their problem a lot, and they haven't really figured it out.
Tell me about. I have fully taken in the Phillies as my second team, and
why? Why are you doing that to yourself?
Well, here's the thing: they got a lot of ex-Yankees there. Citizens Bank Park is so nice, and it's a drivable distance. And I mean,
what other ex-Yankees? David Robertson's not on the team anymore. Didi Gregorius is not on the team anymore.
I mean, Joe Girardi's there. Andrew McCutchen.
Austin, I know exactly.
Andrew McCutchen was a Yankee for like half a year.
But I loved
him.
He
was an inspiration.
Yeah, that guy could go to any team for 2 weeks and become everyone's favorite player.
But if you see, like, when I saw McCutchen on the Yankee, I was like, holy shit, that's Andrew McCutchen.
It
looks nothing
it was so
like
weird
him anymore.
To see him without a beard.
Without a beer, without the dreads.
Well, he didn't have the dreads. He didn't have the dreads with the Giants, and I think he cut them when he was with the Pirates.
He was weird as a Giant too.
Yeah, the Giants bringing in Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen.
That was just a weird
to a young
offseason
team.
For them.
It was a weird thing.
They were like, "Let's make our average age 200."
Yep.
And they brought in They were already an old team. I thought they were going to start trying to rebuild. And what they were like, no, let's
go back to 2010, baby.
Let's lean into it. Speaking about getting old, Tommy Lasorda is back with the White Sox. And it's one of
Tony La Russa.
Yeah, my bad.
Two very different people.
Tommy La Stella.
We had Tommy La Sorda, Tommy La Stella, and Tony La Russa all in contention for the White Sox job.
Hey, and Rick Renteria is up for AL Manager of the Year. Classic. It's like when Joe Girardi was fired from the Marlins and was also like NL Manager of the Year.
Yeah, he won it that year.
Yeah.
He, I don't understand them firing Ricky Renteria. I can't even say it.
Renteria?
I can't even say it.
It's just White Sox managers. You just don't know them.
You got through the rebuild. We're finally doing good. Have a good day. We'll never see you again.
Yeah, people like playing for you. They're having fun. Now you get this ancient man to come back.
So here's the thing about Tony La Russa.
Nailed it. Yep.
His last time managing was 2011. He did win the World Series that year. He was with the Cardinals. However, it's a very different game from 2011.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, you look at shifts weren't what they are now. The analytics weren't what they are now. And I don't know if Chicago is going to go analytical. I think they might be one of those teams that don't. There's very few that don't. But the only three I could really think of are maybe the White Sox now. The Marlins are not an analytical team, or not as much as the others. And the Phillies. Like, those are the three teams that aren't very analytical.
White Sox congratulated Rick Renteria for AL Manager of the Year nomination online.
It's hysterical. Congratulations, go fuck yourself. If to like make that sentence an action, and that's what it was.
It's like, I feel like they were doing a lot of things right there for a little bit, and then they just kind of went downhill real fast.
And
I mean, maybe we'll have them playing well. I don't know. But I feel like he's like a very buttoned up kind of guy, and I feel like that's a very loose clubhouse.
That was my first reaction. But then again, I was listening to the Michael Kay show, and he brought up a very good point. Tony La Russa managed Ricky Henderson, who with the A's, who was not a button up guy by any stretch of the imagination. So maybe he'll be able to let it go and let the White Sox still be the White Sox, because that's such a fun team to watch. I mean,
I couldn't,
they
have a lot of talent.
I couldn't watch them because then I'd have to listen to the Chicago announcers, and they are unlistenable. But
wasn't Hawk Harrelson out of there now?
Yeah, but it hasn't gotten much better.
No. Yeah, I was never a fan.
Rip the Hawk.
Well, he's still alive, but he's awful.
He's retired.
He's dead.
I could not stand. By the way, this is the first time ever that a Hall of Fame manager is coming back. So he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like kind of a cool thing, but he's 76. It's weird that he's that old for such a young team. Like, it's not like this is a win. I mean, it's semi a win now team, but it's not like he's coming to manage. The perfect example would be the Giants that year we were just talking about. Like, it's not like he's coming to manage them, where you're just trying to squeeze the very last bit out of the team. You're trying to grow this team.
Kind of like a Dusty Baker for the Astros. Kind of just like a team that's already established.
Yeah, exactly. Not only established, but past what their peak was.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get the rest out of it. That's what a Tony La Russa... I'm shocked that he was even looking for a job.
Yeah, it's weird. I think he's managed there before or played there before. So
he did.
Kind of like a connection there.
It's the owner says it's one of his biggest mistakes is letting him ever go.
Yeah, that's also the guy who didn't want to approve Steve Cohen, so that guy's just a dick. Doesn't know.
He didn't approve Steve Cohen, you're right. And Bill de Blasio tried to stop it.
Yeah, but de Blasio is, you know, it's a mental case.
Yeah, homie has a great reputation here.
Yeah, that's a discussion. that discussion could take up so much more time. We also have news that's coming in, like, right now. The Gold Gloves are being announced.
Okay. Do we have any announcements?
We have already? Like, three winners. Let me pull them up. Sorry,
that's kind of exciting.
I talked about them, but then decided to not have them ready.
The Gold Gloves, big vote today. It's the biggest vote that I think people are talking about.
Wow, I am disappointed with the thing that I just saw. All right, I'm going to go through the winners. Only the AL infield has been announced so far. We have Evan White winning for first base.
Okay.
Cesar Hernandez at second.
Okay.
JP Crawford at short.
Oh, it's going to be bad, guys.
It's not going to be Urshela.
Oh.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Bro.
I can't be... Come on.
Urshela played out of his mind this year. Defensively. Whatever. First off,
wasn't Falefa, didn't he play all over the place too?
He played catcher and like first.
He played
Is there a faker award than Gold Glove?
Platinum Glove like just a vote?
No, I think that's
Platinum Glove is the best defender no matter what position.
No, yeah, there's one glove that's just like it's a throwaway thing.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Oh, is it based on fielding percentage? I don't know. He looked pretty good. He had 8 defensive runs saved. Yeah, at third base, he had 11 total. What are you going to do?
Hope that Frazier wins left field.
That would be so bonkers, wouldn't it?
Well, first off, he's nominated for right field.
Oops.
Well, that would make it even more bonkers.
Clint Frazier is nominated for a Gold Glove.
Yes, sir. In one of the greatest turnarounds.
Wasn't it his like whole thing was like that he can't handle the outfield?
That's the thing is, and people need to realize this is why everyone is. I don't want to say everyone, but there is worry about Glaber at short.
Oh God!
And Glaber is not nearly as bad at short as Frazier was in the outfield. And Frazier completely turned it around. So people need to give Glaber a little bit of time.
Like you can learn defense.
Yes. Defense is a learnable skill.
For these professionals especially.
So Frazier winning Gold Glove, I would make a shirt about it.
That would be the most 2020 thing ever.
It would be phenomenal. Situation. Now, speaking about outfielders with the Yankees, before we started recording, Tyler brought up Brett Gardner. And Brett Gardner, his option was declined. That does not mean he's not coming back. It just means he's not coming back for that much money.
I think Brett Gardner is going to be non-tendered every year and then be brought back by the Yankees until he's like 56 years old.
I love you for saying that. There is an absolute spot on this team for Gardner. Great, it's on the bench. It's not what it was. But I feel like I say this every episode.
But yeah, I can concede on the bench. I can concede him being on the bench.
If I was a Yankees fan and Gardner was taking the bats from Frazier, I would hate Brett Gardner.
He's been doing that, though.
That would drive me insane.
What has our injury history been the past 2 years?
This year, he got played over Frazier for zero reason.
You're right. You're correct about that, and it's stupid, and it was wrong. And I'm not saying that he should be doing that. But my point is to say get rid of him, and then we have less depth at a position we are always injured at. Would be a stupid
move. Well, that's like the whole thing. with J.D. Davis not getting time at third base because Todd Frazier was on the team. And I can't stand Todd Frazier.
Well, yeah, his option was declined.
Managers play club. Too much into like wanting to reward their veterans.
Yeah, that needs to stop.
This guy's a leader, so I want him to strike out 3 times tonight.
Again, a leader is a thing that exists. So there's value in that. But you're right. He should not be getting at-bats over Frazier. And my whole point here is that he shouldn't be, but he should be on the team.
Okay. Make him a coach for all I care.
Well, that would negate the whole point, because then he wouldn't be able to play when someone inevitably gets hurt in the outfield.
There's been player managers before. Let's make a player coach to be the first team.
Joe Torre with the Mets. Player exactly. manager.
Really?
What would Gardner even do as a coach? Like, what would he coach?
Wasn't Yogi Berra a player manager at one
point? Very briefly.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't long. What did you say, Nick? I completely ignored you.
Yeah, I know. What would Gardner, like, even be a coach for? Like, what do you think he could be?
Packing lips.
Speed coach.
That would be cool.
Is that a thing?
So, like, what would that be under? Like, player development, I guess?
He just sings wheels. That song from that one movie.
He's just the wheels coach.
Put 1 foot in front of the other. What movie is that from?
Gardner coaches wheels.
Put 1 foot in front of the other. Oh, it's from that Christmas movie. What movie is that? Do you guys really have no idea?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is it Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
It's the one with Heat Miser.
I don't know what that is.
What?
Oh, I know. Now I know what movie you're talking about.
I think it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It is.
The Year Without Santa Claus.
The Year Without Santa Claus.
No, it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
No. I was getting the name of the movie that Tim said Heat Miser was from.
Oh. I've never seen it.
I think this from... Oh, yeah.
You're missing out.
I thought Santa Claus is Coming to Town is the same thing as The Year Without...
Nope. Two different movies.
They're very similar looking.
Similar style, but different movies.
It's because they're old.
DJ LeMahieu is a finalist for MVP.
Because he's the GOAT!
There has never been a guy that's need to be re-signed harder than this guy right now.
Wait, this is my swag or no swag.
Okay. You want to do that then?
Sure.
Hey, is it time?
No, it's not time. Right now it's time to take an ad break. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is the daily fantasy sports app for player props. They've eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about top-tier athletes in a respective sport. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million since joining in 2018. Use promo code BOOGIE when you sign up and you receive an instant match on your first deposit of $20 or more up to $50. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Tyler's here too. Hey guys.
Yes, Austin.
You know what time it is?
I have an idea.
8:18.
Now it's time for swag or not swag.
All right, Tyler, you have one, correct?
Sure do.
So, since you are the guest, we will let you go first.
All right. So I know the pandemic has hit us all hard, and I ventured to make a pandemic mustache. Do I make it a non-pandemic mustache? Swag or no swag?
I'm going to say swag because I have seen it, and it is rocking.
Right?
I'm going to say swag because you could just seamlessly transition here into No Shave November.
And right? That's where my swag was going to be taken to. So
there we go. Thanks, boys.
I mean, he's absolutely killing the mustache game. And here's the thing, in his profile picture on Twitter, at Tyler Boyce, with the O is a zero, by the way, he's got the stubble going on under it, too. So,
oh, yeah, it's a multitude, you know?
It's got layers to it.
The stubble mustache combination is deadly.
I think it's significantly better than just pure mustache.
Nick threw the follow mid-podcast. That is impressive.
I'm just trying to see the mustache because I want to see how it stacks up to mine during quarantine.
It's better than yours.
Check the snap.
I have seen it. I have seen your mustache. And it is his is better than yours. Yours is Tyler, a little bit too pedo-y.
It's definitely thick.
It was.
It's a little. I don't know.
See, that's like a well kept mustache that Tyler's got going on. I was letting that mine run wild.
Yeah, yours no, was.
I wasn't giving mine any love.
You weren't adding some curls to it.
I tried. Yeah. It was not easy. Wax.
Yeah, how do you maintain it? Do you just kind of?
It's all natural, baby. Put some beard oil in it. You can put some beard oil in it. Fluffs it up a little bit.
Beautiful. That's. I wish I could grow a mustache like that. I cannot grow a mustache. The beard comes in, the mustache does not.
So it's like a bottom half beard?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think. I mean, it's coming in. I think it'll get better the older I get. But I don't think I would look good with a mustache, to be fair. I don't think I have the face structure for it. But hey, maybe I could surprise myself in the future.
Did you guys really have a poll asking if Tom Seaver or Clayton Kershaw
who's
better?
He's better. He is
better. Because this
was that even a question?
Yes. It is for Tim. I don't know why.
It is for Tim.
Interesting.
What's the answer? What's the answer, Tyler?
Oh, it's clear. The people voted too. It's Tom Seaver, the franchise dude. Are you kidding me?
This dude, Tim.
Yeah, Tim was acting like we were
so clear. Clayton Kershaw is so clear. It's not even funny. I hate to even have to talk about it.
All right, we'll go. Tim, Nick, and me.
All right. Yankees Can I
just throw a quick update? I'm sorry to cut you off, Tim.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
The NL Infield Gold Glove Award winners. At third, we had Arenado.
Shocker.
At second, we had Colton Wong. And at first and short,
free agent,
Tim's boys, Rizzo and Baez.
Oh, baby! Too bad they couldn't hit for shit, though.
Yeah, too bad Baez is going to leave next year. That's going to suck.
So, Tim, are you a bigger Yankee fan or Cubs fan?
Completely equal.
Completely equal. Interesting.
The Cubs one comes out more because when you have to be sad,
it's louder.
You know, you have to wear your heart on your sleeve a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Being a Mets fan.
The Yankees giving DJ LeMahieu Derek Jeter treatment. They let him look at free agency, and whatever he comes back with, they give it to him.
You know what? That would be. I would absolutely. Are you asking, would you like that, or is that what you're expecting?
Would you like that?
Yeah, swag for sure.
Swag. Just give him the money. Hand him a blank check and let him fill it out.
Yeah, really? I think if there's one thing the Yankees need to do is resign.
They really resign need him. To resign. You can't lose that bat from them.
And I don't think he'd even ask for that much.
I think he wants to stay too. So.
Yeah.
I honestly think Tanaka, Gardner, and LeMahieu will all be back, and I think that'll be the Yankees' offseason.
I mean, we're not the Indians. We need to re-sign MVP candidates.
Yeah, when you have an MVP candidate, you can't just let him go. And here's another part.
Death in Cleveland.
If he's leaving, I think the Mets have as good as a chance as anyone to sign him.
Yeah.
And we cannot let that happen.
Stevie's got plans, boys.
Okay, I'm letting you guys know right now. If DJ LeMahieu goes to the Mets, and the Mets bring back those black jerseys, I will own a black DJ LeMahieu Mets jersey.
Weird.
Now, it won't happen because he's going to come back to the Yankees. But you asked me if I would ever purchase one of those Mets jerseys. That is the only way. It would have to be because of the Yankees' ineptitude. Nick, your turn.
Well, Austin gets to go last, saving the worst for last.
I could kick you off at any moment.
I could leave at any moment.
I love Swagger Not Sway. It's great. The Yankees bringing in the guy I've been pushing for this whole offseason, Liam Hendricks. Swagger Not Sway.
That'd be pretty swag.
I mean, how could you, like, oppose a good signing, you know?
Think of anything, so I just threw a random thing.
Is there such thing as too many closers in the bullpen? Like, that's literally four closers.
Okay.
I think it works, though. Look at the postseason. That's when you need it.
Remember when we almost got
Nick Anderson?
That's your Nick Anderson, yep.
Here's mine. I wanted to keep it semi-Mets related with Tyler joining us.
Of course you did.
Okay, well. George Springer ends up with the Mets. So now, I'm not asking if you wanted to, because the clear answer would be no. I'm asking.
I don't know. George Springer.
Do you think
I want him to go where he gets the money?
Do you think it'll happen, or do you? I'll change it because I think that's too hard of a prediction to make. Do you think the Mets will be a strong candidate for George Springer?
Swag.
They're gonna be in on most of the big free agents.
They're gonna be on everybody. They have to be.
Now, I found an article here.
And they have to pursue it legitimately. They can't half-ass every single one thinking, oh, we'll get one of them.
Yeah. That's literally what the
anybody, that's literally, not going after
that's literally what the Phillies did a few years back. I mean, granted, they got Harper, but they were just like, we'll just offer something to everyone, and something's got to stick. I found an article. It's called The 5 Biggest Snubs from the MLB's Award Finalists. They have AL Rookie of the Year. They have Ryan Mountcastle with the Orioles. Obviously, the Orioles suck, so they're always going to kind of get shoved to the side. NL Cy Young, they have Danielson Lamet.
True.
We've settled on Lamet, right?
Yeah, I Googled it.
Okay. NL Rookie of the Year, Tony Gosselin. Who's above him? Fernando Tatis is not an MVP finalist.
What?
And neither is Machado. And both of those are snubs.
Neither is Bieber.
That's fine.
You know, we've brought up multiple times. Bieber should win this.
Wait. Why is he not? Why is Lindor, why is Tatis not a finalist?
Because MLB. That's all I got.
Manny Machado is.
Tatis is.
Yeah. Manny Machado is a finalist. So it says right here, they wrote like a little paragraph. I want to give Simon Sharkey Gottlieb wrote it. Sorry, I definitely butchered your name, pal. did the wrong Padres infielder end up as the finalist for MVP? It's certainly possible. Machado had a stellar bounce back season, but it was Tatis who emerged as a superstar. His 155 OPS plus was 1 point better than that of his rookie season in 115 fewer plate appearances. He finished third in WAR among senior circuit hitters. What the fuck does that mean?
Senior circuit's the National League.
Oh, okay.
Because it's older than the American League.
Okay, let's just not call it that. Trailing only the other two NL MVP finalists. Finished seconds in runs scored and homers. Was top 10 in his league in a variety of other categories, including extra base hits and steals. He also improved his defense and became a plus defender.
I cannot believe he's not in. I can't believe it.
While his time will certainly come, Tatis deserved to be in the top three of this honor. Absolutely. Wait, who's the final? Oh, I gotta look this up. NL
Freeman,
MVP.
Freeman, Betts, Machado?
Freeman and Betts, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Machado should not be there above Tatis.
Machado had a 2.8 WAR. Tatis has a 2.5. They both have 16 home runs. Well, he has 17 home runs. Machado has 16.
Oh, well, I mean, baseball or Fangraphs is different.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Tatis 2.9. They have Machado 2.6.
We
but that,
can,
either way, though, that's very that doesn't mean anything. You know,
we cannot make the MVP a WAR award.
Just giving you guys what I have.
It's just shocking to me. It makes no sense. How is Tatis not an MVP finalist?
Why market your most marketable players, you know? Especially when they deserve it, you know?
Do you guys not find Machado an exciting player anymore?
No, we do.
Oh,
I do.
It's just that Tatis is... Yeah.
Tatis
I think they're in
baseball this year.
I think they're interchangeable. I think Tatis is more exciting, obviously.
I think Machado's less exciting since he went to San Diego.
It's just that he had such a down year last year.
Yeah. He came back, thank God. Imagine if he was off or mediocre for that entire contract.
Oh, and he also owes money. Remember?
No, I have no idea.
He owes money to that Dodgers fan. Because when he went to San Diego last year, he told a Dodgers fan that he bets his contract or something that the Padres will win a World Series before the Dodgers do.
Did he really think they were in the position for that?
Especially last year.
Hey, you guys want to hear something kind of ridiculous?
If Always. Joe Biden won every state, Edwin Jackson played baseball and he would win.
That is interesting.
Shout out to Foolish Baseball for that one.
Foolish Baseball. Follow him on Twitter. Subscribe to him. He is one of the funniest. I think he's the best baseball content creator out there. I don't think it's even close. I love John Boy, but I'm not putting him above Foolish Baseball.
Either way, Foolish Baseball is goated.
For sure. Molina wants a multi-year deal.
So do I, but I'm not getting one either.
There's four teams interested. The Cardinals are one of them. And we don't know any of the other ones. So how do we know there's four teams interested? Oh, Yadier Molina's agent said.
We have the winner for right field.
Yes.
I hate it.
Who is it?
It's Joey Gallo.
Bruh. Did he even play this year?
Is he a left fielder? I could have sworn.
I do not like Joey Gallo.
Really? Joey Gallo is such an interesting player. Where I think people either overrate him or underrate him an insane amount.
Robert Murray, MLB insider, Major League Baseball hosting its Gold Glove Award show on Election Day night is incredibly bold strategy. I agree.
Yeah, it's well, they,
no, they're so good at this, choosing just the absolute worst days. They're thinking about postponing the World Series every year to early February on the Super Bowl.
They're thinking about opening day running up side to side against March Madness. We'll push. Normally we have our big games. You know, like the big baseball games, usually July 4th. Like that's their holiday. They're thinking about pushing it to Thanksgiving. I don't get their scheduling at all.
They're gonna play an annual Christmas game. You know,
they're gonna play the All-Star game.
Nothing else is going
on.
Wait! I just thought of something. All right, what if you start off the MLB season by having your all NL team and all AL team from the previous year?
That would be so much fun.
Like, it doesn't count, of course.
Yeah, it's
but like that's just the first game of the season. Like right after spring training.
Like the Hall of Fame game in football.
Yes.
I like that a little bit.
You know how I think we should end this podcast?
With Justin Turner slander?
If you guys can name at least 10 of the teams that Edwin Jackson has pitched for.
Okay.
Toronto.
Well, we'll start with that, but I do want to crush Justin Turner. That's how I planned on ending this.
All right.
So,
touche.
Okay, so we got the Blue Jays, the White Sox.
Yep.
The
yep.
Marlins.
Yep.
Brewers? That's a question. I don't know.
Nope.
Are we allowed to? We're allowed to get some wrong. The Cubs?
I feel like you're allowed like three strikes because we could just name every baseball team.
The Cubs? Yep. So I'm 4-for-4.
I'm 0-for-1. Oh, actually, I'm 1-for-2. I call Toronto.
Where else was he? He was with LA, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was like his first team.
Was he with Tampa?
Yep. Tampa, he was in old Tampa Bay uniforms and the new ones.
So Angels? we have two for three.
Not the Angels. That's two strikes.
What the?
Oh no!
Wait! Oh! We have strikes. I gotta chill the hell out.
Then. Yeah, one more. It's baseball, baby. You got one more strike.
Detroit.
That's
Detroit.
A good one. Yes, he was there.
Yeah, baby. 3-for-4.
Yes, you have 7 teams so far.
This isn't my guess. I want to discuss this with the guys. I'm thinking Rangers, but I can't be positive about that.
I like that.
Well, Rangers.
I want to say go for it. Okay.
You struck out.
Son of a
no.
bitch.
Dodgers, Tampa Bay, Tigers, Diamondbacks, White Sox, Cardinals, Nationals, Cubs, Braves, Marlins, Padres, Orioles, Athletics, Blue Jays.
And I knew he was a Padre, too. I knew he was a Padre.
He's born in Germany?
We need to interview this guy. He's the most interesting man in the world. All right, but before... That's a thing for later today. Let's... So, Justin Turner, Mets legend. Did perhaps the dumbest thing I've ever seen on a baseball field. So,
well, can we set up the scenario?
Yes. So he gets tested the day before. They don't find out that his test comes out inconclusive during the second inning of the game. So they expedite his test from that day, and it comes back positive. I can't remember what inning. Was it the 6th or 7th? Something like that.
It was mid-game at some point.
So he gets taken out mid-game. They put him in a room for isolation. The Dodgers then go on to win the World Series. Now, I immediately feel bad for Justin Turner.
Yeah.
Then I immediately hate Justin Turner. Justin Turner straight up ignores everything and just walks onto the field and starts celebrating with his team, takes a team picture with his mask off next to his manager, who's a cancer survivor. He's right, putting everyone at risk for no reason at all.
Let me play devil's advocate. This is not me supporting him in his decisions, but Justin Turner's 36 years old, probably doesn't have a lot of time left in the league. One in a lifetime opportunity that many people don't get to win a World Series. Are you ignoring everything and going out there and celebrating? Yeah. Or are you going to be sheltered inside and just watching on TV? Like, well, you could do any other year.
Granted, it sucks. I think we all know that it sucks, but you have to listen to the protocols.
But then there's also, he was already with them for the whole game already.
Yeah, but that's like, I was already with you. Why don't you just spit in my mouth?
Jesus.
But no, but that's literally not even close to what happened, Austin.
But it's the whole...
I'm not saying this doesn't suck, but his cancer survivor manager that you brought up was with next to him for 7 innings already.
You're correct. But just because you already did something, like, they could have not caught it then and then spread it more.
More people were
on the field. More people were on the field now. The bullpens are out. Everyone's
on
the field.
Dude, they're all exposed to it. They don't give a shit. They won the World Series. I get COVID to get the World Series.
I tell you,
Mookie Betts even said, forget about all that. He's with us. He's part of the team. We wanted him out here. They obviously knew what they were doing by letting him back onto the
team.
Okay,
so they didn't care. But the MLB has to care. Because
the MLB
should,
and they really didn't.
This looks awful for them. They're investigating currently.
They told him to get off the field, and he ignored them. So
they're investigating.
Doing an investigation now.
So he should get absolutely reamed with the suspension.
You know, I'd inject his whole family with COVID as punishment.
I mean, he kissed his wife, so there you go.
Okay, I'm talking year. Not year, month of suspension.
Jesus!
Why are you absolutely destroy? Because you completely ignored the protocols. You can't just. These rules aren't to play pretend.
Clevenger
and Plesac didn't get anything.
They got the bone. They literally were off of the team.
Okay, and then what? And then what? They came back.
You're right.
Clevenger was in the postseason.
You're correct. But I'm not saying they shouldn't have been punished.
If
you had it,
and they didn't test positive,
I'd be dancing on the freaking pitcher's mound.
But they broke protocol.
Okay, they broke protocol, but they didn't. They broke protocol. They didn't even know they were positive. They weren't positive. Justin Turner, they knew he was positive. They straight up had. You can't do this. You legitimately have it.
I just think it's funny.
It's stupid.
Because it's the World Series.
I used to love Justin Turner. I cannot stand him anymore.
That's tough.
I hate him now. I cannot stand him.
But, like, he didn't do much. Like, I know what the one thing
he just exposed everyone when he knew he had it.
You didn't let me finish, dude.
If Justin Turner was going to go onto this podcast, would you let him?
Yeah. I'd let him. I would interview him, and I would tell him that he was absolutely ridiculous.
You would tell that to him. You would say that. You would say that.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's ringing your mouth, dude.
He'd be like, okay.
I remember, I
immediately felt bad for Justin Turner. I was like, wow, this freaking sucks. He's not going to be able to celebrate with his teammates.
Well, good. You should be happy. You felt bad.
No.
You got what you wanted.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you felt bad. So He got to celebrate.
Wrong. It was so wrong what he did.
It really wasn't good, but you put yourself in that position. If you can honestly tell me that you wouldn't try and go back out there, I think you'd be lying to yourself.
It felt so wrong. It felt so right. I'm in jail too.
Thank you guys for listening.
I went on the field with COVID-19.
I'll see you next episode. And go Yankees.
Go Bills.
Garrett Cole is a New York Yankee.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.